Welcome to the Thanksgiving edition of The FWAT Show on the Coil Entertainment Network. I'm Rob Steele, that's Jesus Jones in the background, and I'm thankful for them for letting me use their song as the theme. And it's time for your irregularly scheduled program that is most reassuring in its claim that this is the show that lets you know that if it feels as though the world has lost its mind, you're right, it has. Want proof? How's this? Roy Moore, the guy in Alabama who's running for Senate, who says, I abused children and raped them when they were small. Yeah, his approval rating is still in the 40s. Yeah, because, you know, if it dips into the teens, people are afraid he'll fuck it. Really? Come on. The whole thing is religious, even. They think the whole incident is a biblical recreation of Ezekiel 23:20. Which states, there, she lusted after her lovers, whose genitals were like those of donkeys and whose emissions were like that of horses. But it wasn't. I suspect it was a lot more like James 3:4, which says, although they are large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. That is a Roy Moore small d*** joke. Yeah, the Alabama governor even says that she believes Roy Moore molested and abused children, but she'll vote for him because he's Republican. Really? That's what you're going with. You are that hard among party lines? This isn't cocaine. You don't have to follow the line that closely. Seriously. And now they're going after Ron Moore's main accuser, if you haven't heard so far. Has 3 divorces, filed for bankruptcy, and been charged with multiple misdemeanors. I had no idea Donald Trump was the one accusing Roy Moore of being a sexual predator. Who knew? And that's not the only criminally sexual-related thing that comes from the Trump camp this week. Yeah, Ralph Shorty, the former Oklahoma State Senator and the guy who was Trump's family values Republican coordinator, campaign, leader, person, thing. Yeah, I can't be bothered to get his title straight because he pleaded guilty to child sex trafficking and is now going to prison for, I believe the sentence is life. And it goes along with the asinine quote of the week from a Trump supporter, which was, if Jesus came back, I'd still check with Trump first. Really, Trump is not the second coming. Although that can take a whole new meaning with this particular topic. And as much as I'm making light of this particular instance, there was another story this week that really bothered me. Comes from Nashville, Tennessee, where 28-year-old Centoya Brown is going to prison for the murder of 43-year-old Johnny Mitchell Allen. Now, the reason she's going to prison is, yes, she killed him. I'm with you on that part. The reason she did so was because he picked her up when she was 16. She is now 28. And he forced her to have sex with a myriad of people over the past 12 years. She was a sex slave living in Tennessee, who finally got the opportunity to strike back at the person who enslaved her. That's right, enslaved. That is the correct term. She will not be eligible for parole until sometime after her 69th birthday. There could be a joke there, but I'm not making it. If there is a petition somewhere to get a judge with half a brain to look at the story and realize that what she did was self-defense and get her the hell out of prison, let me know. I'll publicize the shit out of that on this show, because that is a major crime. And that makes me very angry. Let's move on to the next story about Donald Trump. Again, let's go back to some good news. Good news out of Trump land, where a federal judge blocked the executive order that Trump had signed cutting funding to sanctuary cities. Yeah, that's not going to happen. That is good news. Other good news. The somewhat off-color card game Cards Against Humanity just used their profits to buy a significant piece of land on the border of U.S. and Mexico. Why? for the sole purpose of blocking this jackass wall that some dumb fuck in DC thinks is a good idea. Now they can't build the wall. Not all of it, anyway. You know what? Speaking of building and good news, not related to Donald Trump, because there is some this week. Remember the past couple shows, I mentioned my friend Toddzilla, who had lost his house in a fire, but was denied the opportunity to rebuild it because it was part of a historical area in Nashville. You know what? They took it to court. And Todd won, and he's allowed to rebuild his house. How's that for good news? There's something to be thankful for. Good for you, Todd. Stupid headline of the week, and I suppose it's clickbait. It just kind of got me, because I'm not familiar with all the people in this particular story. It was just an oddly written headline on CNN.com, written as, Joe Jackson's odd message to Blanket. Now, several things came up in this, like an odd message to Blanket. What, Linus wrote this? What does that mean? I don't understand. And Joe Jackson, it's a fairly common name, I would think. Is this Joe Jackson as in Shoeless Joe Jackson, the baseball player who's been banned for life from Major League Baseball, even though he died in 19, you know, it doesn't matter when he died. 19 is the first two numbers, which means it's been almost 20 years and his lifetime is over. So the lifetime ban should be over. So he should be able to be put in the Hall of Fame. No, it wasn't him. What other Joe Jackson could it be? Could it be the guy from the early 80s who had that song called Steppin' Out, which was a good song? Is it that Joe Jackson? No. No, it's not that Joe Jackson. It's Michael Jackson's dad, Joe, written a letter to Michael's kid, whose name is inexplicably Blanket. That is the extent of what you're going to get out of this story, because I had a lot more fun figuring out who the hell Joe Jackson was than I'm ever going to possibly have finding out about this letter. If you want to look it up, knock yourself out. I can't stop you. Speaking of being stopped, here's a story about a jackass who needs to have something rather large smashed about his head. Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond is one of the top players on the NBA's Detroit Pistons team. And he was on this big tirade about how he can't trust the Pistons. They might trade me. And I mean, I'll still get the $127 million that's in my contract, but I don't know where I'll be playing. And that'll be hard on my family. Shut the fuck up. $127 million? Who the hell cares where you're going to play? You're going to have $127 million. You know what? Check this out. For 1% of that, I will go play for the Antarctica Penguins. Now, granted, I'm nowhere near as good as Andre Drummond. I'm nowhere near as tall nor as talented. But you know what? It's only 1% of the money. And I'll take my family to Antarctica. They'll be happy with it. They like snow. And you want to trade me to Phoenix afterwards where there's sun? You know what? They'll get over it because I'll have millions of dollars. So, Andre, the NBA is not slavery. Shut the fuck up. And speaking of Detroit, when this story first broke, I thought, no, this can't be real. It has to be one of those made-up stories because it's too comical to be real. And yet, it isn't. Detroit Police Chief James Craig said last week, quote, "This is probably one of the most embarrassing things I've seen in this department." No, James. This is one of the most embarrassing things ever. Ever, ever, ever. And it doesn't matter if it's a police thing or not. What happened was a group of undercover Detroit police officers posed as drug dealers. Like you do, trying to catch people buying drugs and then they can arrest them, which sounds like entrapment, but, you know, what do I know? There was another group of undercover police officers, wait for this, posing as drug buyers, don't start laughing yet, when the two groups came across each other, resulting in a brawl between more than two dozen armed police officers. Half of them thinking, "We finally got the people buying drugs, we got the people buying drugs," and the other half thinking, "We got the people selling drugs, we got the people selling drugs." And this was a real thing? Wow, if you don't recognize the Keystone Cops music, that's your own fault. Much in the same way, at least two of the cops should have looked at each other at some point and gone, "Steve? Is that you? Mike, what are you doing? Oh, we fucked up. But in about the same category of idiocy, which is a word I just made up, but I'm using it anyway, Charles Manson died this week. And millions of people took to Twitter and were very upset that he died. Because they thought it was Marilyn Manson. And they thought Marilyn's real name was Charles. And they're wrong. If you think those people are idiots, whether you think I'm referring to the Marilyn Manson fans or those cops in Detroit, either way, go ahead and drop me a note, rob@thefwatshow.com, or visit the website, thefwatshow.com, and you can find the buttons for Facebook and Twitter, leave me messages there, or you can even subscribe to the show, for there are buttons for iTunes and the Google Play Store, and I think YouTube has a button. That's right, there's a YouTube version, check that out. Don't forget to visit the Fwat Shop, where you can pick up a t-shirt or a hat or a coffee mug, because it's Christmas time, you need to buy gifts, says the atheist. In the meantime, I'm going to leave you with one of those really weird arguments you find on the internet. And it's actually an argument for gun control. Now bear with me on this, because in 1967, Jane Mansfield was a very popular actress, and she was hot. Anyway, she was killed when her car ran up under the end of a tractor-trailer truck. And since then, all trailers have a bar put in place to keep cars from running up under them. One person died, one reformation to prevent it from happening again. In 1982, seven people died when Tylenol packaging was tampered with, and now you need to have, what, hands of steel and a lock-breaking crowbar and DNA sample and the blood of a virgin in order to get into your prescription bottles? You know what? That happened because seven people got killed. In 1995, a bomb using a particular type of fertilizer killed 168 people in Oklahoma City, and now you can't buy that fertilizer. In 2001, one dork in Detroit, tried to blow up a plane by putting a bomb in his shoe, and since he was caught, all people trying to get on an airplane have to take off their shoes and submit to scanning before being allowed on board. One person, massive reform. Now, since 1968, 1,516,897 people have died from guns on American soil, which works out to an average of about 85 people a day. Do we have any reform going? No. We've got thoughts and prayers. And you know what? We're probably going to need as many as we can get, because until there's reform, it ain't going to stop. So be careful out there, because it's still, it's fucked up is what it is. Have a happy Thanksgiving anyway.